And we are now live.
I believe we do need to wait probably a couple minutes until one of our Eugene counselors comes on to start. So if anyone is watching this meeting virtually, please just bear with us for a few moments as we give people time to join.
I was a Eugene counselor for 10 years, but I guess that doesn't matter anymore.
It's good context, Pat. Good context.
Okay, well, now that Councillor Zelenka has joined us, I think we've got enough people to get the meeting started. Councillor Zelenka, I think you're Rob, your name says Rob Innerfeld, if you want to change that.
So you sent the link. You're using the link I sent you. That's what happened. There you go. All right.
Can I just be Rob? Promise not to say embarrassing things, Rob.
We have another Rob Innerfeld joining us too.
So we'll see who that is.
That's Jennifer Waller.
Okay, great. So thank you all for joining us for this Moving Ahead Oversight Committee meeting. We actually have a really exciting meeting agenda today. We're gonna start out just kind of with a couple of housekeeping things. Our agenda's got doing introductions, recapping the previous meeting, and then approving the minutes for that last meeting. And I know that that might, it's a long time ago, but I'm hoping we can do that. And then we'll get into kind of the real reason we're here, which is to provide a recommendation to LTD's board and Eugene City Council on a locally preferred alternative for each of the five moving ahead corridors. So with that, let's just do quick introductions. I am Andrew Martin. I'm a development planner with Lane Transit District. Rob, do you want to go next?
Sure. I'm Rob Innerfeld, transportation planning manager with the city of Eugene and one of three co-project managers on the project in addition to Andrew. And then Terry, you can go next.
Hi everyone, I'm Terry Harding. I'm a principal planner with the City of Eugene and sit on the project management team and project sponsor team for Moving Ahead. How about over to Andrew?
I already went, I'll...
Sasha.
Hi, Sasha Vartanian with Lane County. I'm a transportation planning supervisor.
And the original project manager. Tom Schwartz, planning and development director at LTD. Pat?
Pat for Board of County Commissioners, and I apologize that I need to leave at 2 o'clock. We're interviewing today to replace Steve Manella, who has really no replacement.
Thank you. You're supposed to pick the next person, Pat.
How about Alan Zelenka, Councillor Zelenka?
I'm Rob Innerfeld. Alan Zelenka, City Councillor Eugene. Jennifer.
I'm also Rob Innerfeld, or Jennifer Willer from the City of Eugene.
You have to pick someone, Jennifer.
Yeah. let's see who all has gone. I see Matt joined us, so go ahead, Matt.
Hi all, I'm Matt Rodriguez, Public Works Director for the City of Eugene. Who hasn't gone yet?
Denny hasn't gone.
All right, Denny, introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. Denny Bro, Planning and Development Director for the City of Eugene.
Have our two LTD board members introduce themselves, Susan, and then how about Susan and then Piet?
Okay, I'm Susan Cox and I'm on the LTD board. I'm also in the car, so I probably will go off camera here pretty soon. Glad to be here.
Pete Knox, I'm also an LTD board member. I'm not in a car or a bus, so I'll keep the camera on.
Thanks, everybody.
Can I say, Greg, I texted Greg and he doesn't seem to have a link. And so, Camille, if you could send it to his Gmail.
I will resend that to him.
Did you send it to his Gmail address or not?
Could you text me his Gmail really quickly to make sure I have it correct? And I will send that immediately.
I will do that now. Thanks.
Rob Thank should you. Send it. He sent it to everybody else.
Thanks, everybody. And we have Franny joining us. Welcome, Franny. We just did introductions. If you want to introduce yourself real quick, and then we'll move
on. Hi, I'm Franny Brindle. I'm with the Oregon Department of Transportation. I'm the area manager.
Great. Thanks for joining us. So as I mentioned, quickly to recap our previous meeting, that was all the way back in May. It was on May 29th of 2019. And for those of you who were there, at the time we'd been discussing packages of investments that we could make and then we were going to take to the public hearing that occurred in October. And so I have the meeting minutes in the packet today, and I'm hoping that someone feels comfortable approving those. I know some of you were not at that meeting and it was a long time ago, but that was something we were hoping that we could do today. If there are any questions, I'm happy to try to answer them, but my recollection of the minutes is probably about the same as yours at this point.
So Andrew, I don't remember if I'm a member that can do that on this committee. Can I make a motion to approve?
I believe that you can, Matt.
All right. Motion to approve.
Second.
And just do it informally. Everyone could raise your hand if you vote aye. I'm seeing yeses from everyone. Does anyone vote no? Okay, that passes unanimously. Thank you. I know it's a long time ago, but we've been keeping the minutes on this. Just wanted to formally recognize those. So the rest of the meeting, Rob and I are going to give you kind of a quick update on the project and talk about the feedback that we got at the public hearing very briefly. This committee is the only committee we go to that hasn't received that yet. And some of you, I know, have heard us talk about this before, but we wanted to make sure that everyone had all of the information. So Rob and I are going to do a quick presentation, and the agenda items are, they look separate, but they are kind of all one big, not big, one small presentation. And Rob and I will get through that as quickly as we can. And then we want to kind of engage you all. Well, I guess we're going to do public comment if anyone chooses to do that at that time. And then we will engage you all in a discussion and try to get a recommendation for a locally preferred alternative, and we'll explain what that is exactly. But really, it's the kind of high-level vision that we're hoping to have for these corridors and the investments we want to make in those over the next 10 years. So with that, I'm going to share my screen, and Rob and I will, as I mentioned, do a short presentation. Great. And so we're going to really quickly talk about what the project is. I know all of you are familiar with the project, but for anyone who's in the public and happens to be listening, if you need more information, visit our website at movingahead.org or get in touch with us, send us an email. We're happy to speak with you about the project. So just really quickly, Moving Ahead is a partnership between the City of Eugene and Lane Transit District, and we're studying the kinds of investments we want to make on five of some of the most important corridors in Eugene over the next 10 years. And we started this project in 2015 with 11 corridors, and through evaluation, public feedback, and analysis, we've narrowed that down to five corridors. These corridors are Highway 99, River Road, downtown to LCC via 30th Avenue, Coburg Road, and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Using community input, we've developed high-level street design concepts that would provide increased safety and accessibility for people walking, biking, and riding the bus. These designs were created to help us meet many of the community's goals and plans, including our Vision Zero, Climate Action, and Transportation System plans, among others. The concepts that we studied included high-level street design concepts with three transit options and safety and access improvements, which were implemented in distinct ways on each corridor. The no-build alternative means no investment is part of Moving Ahead. It means not now, but also that in the future, if conditions change and there's interest by the community, we could consider multimodal investments at that time. The enhanced corridor alternative is designed as a moderate level of investment, while MX was designed as the highest level investment. These concepts for each corridor were designed from the beginning with input from the public and with the goal of minimizing any potentially negative consequences that come from changes to the existing roadway. Moving Ahead is a process 6 years in the making. In 2015, we began with corridor community design workshops and had the community help us figure out what street designs best met their vision for the community. We conducted analysis on 17 different environmental topics to determine what would happen if we implemented each of the alternatives on each corridor. This was published as our alternatives analysis in 2018. We then conducted several rounds of public engagement in the corridors and with the broader community as we refined and narrowed options, which eventually led to the options that were presented at the public hearing in October of 2019. And at each decision point in the process over the last 6 years, we have gotten feedback from the public, gotten recommendations from SPC and the Move Ahead Oversight Committee, and often direction from Eugene City Council and LTD's board. So it's been a very robust process with a lot of checking in and feedback. And we're, I think, really happy with where we're going with this. So the last meeting we had, the Oversight Committee, we were talking about getting ready for that public hearing. So just for those who didn't see that, we wanted to report back kind of what we heard at that public hearing so that everyone is kind of on the same page. Before the public hearing on October 21st, 2019, we actually held an open house before that event as well to provide information to community members and accept written comments. We heard from 31 individual people at that public hearing who spoke, but received 120 comments in total, including the written comments from, we believe, 92 different people. Some people chose to identify with an organization. We heard from about 20 different groups, we think, based on what we could tell people were identifying themselves as. And the way that we approached kind of looking at these comments was to group them together into categories that were very similar and provide responses to those. And that helped us to understand the issues that people were raising, but also gave us an opportunity to kind of, I guess, respond to those comments in a way that might help the public understand more about the project. So what we heard, it's kind of the continuation of what we've heard all along in this project, that most of the comments we received were supportive of many aspects of the project, but that what exactly everyone supported was not totally clear. People, I think, had trouble engaging with the idea of packages. Most of our comments were really about individual corridors, things that people wanted to see on the road that they live on. They weren't really engaging with kind of the big system level that we were trying to engage them on. Most of the comments spoke about the broader needs of the community without being specific about exactly what we should do. So we heard lots of things like, we need to address safety, we need to address congestion, we have to mitigate climate change, things like that. And the comments didn't say, I think this alternative will do that, but called for us to address it. About 40% of the comments offered support for something very specific. Some other comments raised, other comments said that they were supportive of building something, but it wasn't specific what it was. Fewer people addressed kind of maybe the negative side of things. So they said that they did not support the project. It was much fewer, but many people did bring up topics like the impacts to business owners, the cost of the project, or they felt that more process was needed. And again, I'll stress that this is really consistent with what we've heard throughout the project, that people see a need to do something, but exactly what that something is not quite as clear. Yes, Councillor Zelenka.
Oh, sorry, I was just putting in when you're done.
Sure, if you have a question about the public hearing, now would be a great time to ask that. Or is it about something else?
It's about something else, but when was this public hearing? It was before the Biden administration announced transit funding, though, right?
It was, yes.
Okay.
So with that out of the way, what we're here to do today is to develop a recommendation for what's called a locally preferred alternative. And we've been going through this process, and this is kind of the technical step that we need to take that for this phase of moving ahead will kind of wrap this phase up. What a locally preferred alternative is exactly, we call it an LPA as well. If you hear me say that, it's just an abbreviation. It's a key part of the federal environmental review and permitting process, and it sets the high level vision for the corridor, but is not the final design. If we select MX on a corridor as the LPA, it does not lock us into a specific MX design, but it does mean that we'll be working to figure out what that MX corridor looks like. For instance, we've been analyzing where we think stations might go and where those stations might impact things like access to a driveway. The next steps of this process, once we select an LPA, is to take that conceptual design and make it detailed, where we can hopefully eliminate any negative impacts, maximize any positive impacts, and continue to figure out those small details. An LPA does not lock us into building something. It allows us to take those next steps in the process, which, as I mentioned, are work on detailed designs, go through the environmental review process, and seek funding for the project. Eugene Council and LTD Board, as well as the broader public and advisory groups, will have additional opportunities to shape this project. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Rob, and Rob's going to walk you through kind of what our staff recommendation is and kind of how we got there, and talk about each of the corridors, kind of why we were making that recommendation. So with that, Rob, I will turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you, Andrew. And in case it's not entirely clear, and I'm just not sure whether Andrew covered this, and you know, we know that a number of you are new to the oversight committee. Your role is to make a recommendation to the City Council and the LTD board. And then there's one other committee, the Strategic Planning Committee, which met this past Tuesday, and they made a recommendation, and they just advised the LTD board in a formal manner. And there's a few of you who are also on the Strategic Planning Committee. What you see on the screen right now is the staff recommendation. And in order to put this together, staff reviewed all the analysis and community feedback that we've received throughout the project since 2014. And we believe this recommendation best meets the project's purpose, needs, goals, and objectives that were affirmed by the Oversight Committee in 2015 and that were used to guide the analysis. And all that information can be found in the alternatives analysis document on the website. So I'll just read the recommendation briefly and then walk you through some of the factors that led us to this recommendation. So we're recommending enhanced corridor on Highway 99, MX on River Road, no build on 30th Avenue to LCC, enhanced corridor, but with additional design refinement and community engagement on Coburg Road, and enhanced corridor on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. So let's move on to the next slide. So for Highway 99, some of the thinking behind why we recommend an enhanced corridor for this is that it provides 34% travel time improvement and increases ridership along the corridor compared to no build. The safety investments on Highway 99 are very similar to what's found in MX. And one of the actual pedestrian benefits to the project is actually found in both the enhanced corridor and the MX, which is a pedestrian bridge over the railroad tracks that will connect the Train Song neighborhood, which is currently very isolated, to Highway 99 and the bus network on Highway 99. The Highway 99 enhanced corridor will increase transit frequency without increasing system-wide operations and maintenance costs, and the capital costs are 43% lower compared to the MX alternative. It also is projected to have fewer impacts or negative impacts to the community than the MX alternative. And feedback from the public was supportive of investments along the corridor, with safety being the key consideration. Next, please. So again, we're recommending MX on River Road. It provides the greatest travel time savings of the alternatives, with a 31% improvement compared to no build. And the ridership projections show an increase seven times greater for MX than for enhanced corridor compared to no build. It also includes more investments for walking and biking in terms of safety, and has the potential to support more redevelopment along the corridor. There was a transit-oriented development study that the city and LTD partnered on with the River Road and Santa Clara neighborhoods that analyzed potential zoning around the likely locations of the MX station and looked at how can we have development there that would generate more transit ridership and also be an amenity for the neighborhood. And the River Road, the draft River Road Santa Clara neighborhood plan also calls for transit investments in the neighborhood along the corridor. The MX alternative had the highest amount of support during public engagement, while no build had the lowest amount of support. One of the tools that we're recommending be used on River Road and on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard are what are called bat lanes, on both of these streets, what we would do is take the outer vehicle lanes on certain roadway sections and turn them into bus and turn only lanes. And one of the things we've heard over the years on the River Road neighborhood is just a lot of concerns about speeding traffic. And we think that relegating the general purpose motor vehicles to just one lane each way will really bring the speeds down. And the same thing on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Okay, next slide, please. So for 30th Avenue to LCC, and this alternative would go use Pearl and Oak and then Amazon Parkway to 30th, and we're recommending no build. The enhanced corridor and MX alternatives provided minimal travel time savings compared to the no build, and the enhanced corridor did not provide an increase in ridership. There's also, and LTD staff could speak to this more if necessary, but there's also just issues with the way the current service is provided to LCC is that it's really lined up with when the needs are for students for when classes start and end. And so sometimes there'll be really frequent transit during parts of the day and less frequent during others. And having more of the enhanced or MX type service that's consistent throughout the day wouldn't necessarily be a good match for that. And so the current service that's provided gives more flexibility. Another reason why we're recommending no build is this: the city has been able to move forward or plan for other corridor safety investments through other means rather than the moving ahead process in this part of Eugene. And other studies, including LTD's Transit Tomorrow study, indicated that it may be more appropriate to have frequent transit on other streets that are parallel to Amazon Parkway, for example, like Hilliard and Patterson, rather than the alignment that was analyzed. And so our recommendation is that any recommended investment option for this corridor should occur after the city, county, and LTD complete other studies and transportation investment projects. So, like lastly, the county is actually leading a study right now of 30th and looking at how to make that work better for people walking and biking. Next slide, please. For Coburg Road, we're recommending an enhanced corridor. So both the enhanced corridor and MX designs had the same exact travel time savings. and the enhanced corridor provides many of the safety benefits found in the MX alternative, but it has significantly fewer negative impacts compared to MX. During public engagement, the MX alternative had the highest level of support, but also the most concerns, and the enhanced corridor had the highest average rating of the alternatives, and the no-build had the lowest average rating. There's a need to do additional design refinement on this corridor, partially because there's a huge amount of just general vehicle delay on Coburg Road from Oakway Road to the Ferry Street Bridge. And the city really sees the need to sort of take a step back and relook at that area and how the street is designed for all modes. And so we'd like to do a study of that. And then we would, as part of that, we would look at what was recommended in moving ahead and what we should keep in the design or what we should change. It's also been recognized there were some businesses that had concerns about the MX and enhanced corridor options. So we recognize also a need to just do more community engagement as part of that same design refinement process. So while we're recommending enhanced corridor for Coburg Road, it's sort of on a slower speed of implementation than for the other three corridors. So lastly is Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. And so we only looked at enhanced for this corridor, and we could talk about what the reason for that was later if anyone would like. And so we're recommending to implement the enhanced. It provides 15% transit travel time savings compared to no build and a similar increase in ridership. The city has actually already sort of moved forward with this. We applied for a grant to the state's All Road Transportation Safety Program to make safety investments in the corridor, and what that would entail is the bat lanes that I mentioned earlier. There's a lot of just bad driving behavior that leads to crashes on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. And we think that having the general purpose traffic in just one lane each way will make the street a lot more safer. And then it'll also create a dedicated space for buses. The grant we received will also pay for additional pedestrian crossing locations that are safe, as well as lighting. So we're already starting to work with LTD on that. Probably the part of the corridor that has the biggest travel time issues, though, are at Coburg Road. And what we'll probably do is look at that, how to get a dedicated lane for the buses that are turning left onto Coburg Road as part of that Coburg Road design refinement. So taking a coordinated and flexible approach to funding for Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard could allow for incremental implementation that is both efficient, both financially and in other ways. So just to sort of sum things up, we at the staff level, I guess I'd say that we feel comfortable moving forward with Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, River Road, and Highway 99 with all the, there's a lot of different grant programs that are going to be coming out of the infrastructure bill that was passed recently. And some of them might line up better with a bigger project like MX, like the Small Starts grant program, for example, which traditionally has funded MX alignments. But there's other grant programs that could help fund other enhanced corridors, and the enhanced corridors could be implemented more incrementally because they use regular buses. And so they don't, with MX, you pretty much have to have a special kind of station for the entire corridor right on opening day. But for enhanced, you could do it in smaller chunks over time. So one option is that if this recommendation is ultimately approved, is that we could try to move forward with all three of these if that's what our elected and advisory bodies would like. Now I'm going to hand it back over to Andrew.
Sure. Just for everyone's information, so we gave a very similar presentation to the Strategic Planning Committee. Rob mentioned that they advise LTD's board on a range of issues, but also they're one of the committees that kind of provides governance to moving ahead. And so we asked them to provide a recommendation, and they came back with the same recommendation as our staff recommendation. And we are not necessarily asking this group to provide the same recommendation. We're asking you to provide a recommendation, and just wanted to put this staff recommendation out as a starting point, I think to help. But we would encourage you all to, it's not an ours or nothing. We encourage you to develop a recommendation that you find to be the most sensible. So with that, we kind of tried to, I'll say, we put public comment after the presentation because we wanted to make sure that anyone who is out there in the public had all the benefit of the information we've put out and kind of where we are with the project, because it has been a long time since we've had a meeting with the Oversight Committee. So with that, I would look to Camille. Tom, do you have a question, or I think we're out of order?
I have a comment. Just letting folks know that you'll see my name twice. And one of them looks like a cartoon of something. I'm not sure what it is. That's Greg Evans. So he made it.
Great. Glad you could make it, Councillor Evans.
The pile of cash.
So with that, I'm seeing that there are some attendees in the meeting. So if anyone would like to make a public comment, I would look to Camille to help me facilitate this. But if you'd like to make a public comment, if you could use the raise hand feature, I will get Camille to help me facilitate that. Camille, if you have better instructions.
I do. Would you like me to read through my standard instructions in case anyone is aware?
Yes, please.
Perfect. Okay. To indicate that you would like to provide testimony, please use the raise your hand button. For those attending via phone only, press *9 on your phone to raise your hand. When it is your time to speak, your name will be called. For those attending via phone only, the last 4 digits of your phone number will be called. To state your name, or please state your name, city of residence, and who you are representing for the audio record. Once you have provided testimony, your hand will be lowered. Please do not raise your hand again. Only one opportunity to speak is provided. For those unable or not wanting to speak publicly, testimony may be provided via email at clerk@ltd.org. Public testimony is limited to 3 minutes per community member. A timer will be displayed on the screen and will beep when the 3 minutes is up. And Andrew, I'm not seeing anyone indicating that they would like to provide testimony today. So I will hand it back to you.
Thank you, Camille. So with that, I think Rob and I and other staff here would love to answer any questions you all have about where we're at in the project and kind of where we're going. I actually ended our presentation a moment too early. I was going to show you kind of what happens next with the project, which is just that there are many more check-ins and steps along the way. This isn't the approval to go do construction, but it is a really important step in the project. We'll be going to the board and the council early next year to ask them to approve a locally preferred alternative. And with that, Rob and I are available to answer any questions you have or feel free to discuss and hopefully arrive at a recommendation. Councillor Zlinka, do you have a question or is your hand just still up from before?
No, I had a couple of questions.
Yeah.
So having been around the block for a while, this is the longest bus trip I've ever been on. I'm wondering about the Biden administration funding. Almost all of this work was done before the Biden administration came up with its transit dollars in the Build Back and the infrastructure bills. And obviously with more money, we can do more with MX. And I'm wondering if with our current recommendation, we're leaving money on the table and make a mistake by not seizing this moment in time and this opportunity to go after those funds that are coming from the federal government. The first leg of MX was almost all, it was like 80% or 90% federally funded. And it's been a struggle to do it after that. And this Biden administration money might be reversing that. So what's the impact of that on our recommendation moving forward? And are we making a mistake?
I guess my answer to how does the, I don't think we fully understand all of the implications of the bills that recently passed. I've been seeing guidance come out from the American Public Transit Association, which is kind of the industry trade group, and from FTA. There are some big policy changes. One of the really cool things about moving ahead is when we started, instead of looking at one corridor, we started and we said, let's look at all of the corridors that we think that we're ready to do something on, and let's figure out what we're going to do. And that's kind of where we are right now. At the time, we were trying to use a program called the Program of Interrelated Projects. We were thinking we would, where instead of just doing one corridor, FTA had a program where you could do three corridors at the same time as part of like one project, because it's a system look, right? That sounds, it's a really great way to do transit, because transit is a system and it allows us to be more efficient about the other safety and accessibility investments for people walking, biking. No one's ever done that. And the new bill sets kind of a new way to do that. So there are some policy implications in that new bill that I don't think we fully understand that might make this project easier and faster in the future. As for the money part of it, I would defer to our policymakers on whether they feel that they're leaving money on the table. Our staff recommendation was really about what we heard from the community and kind of the numbers in the analysis we did. I don't think that it would be, like, my professional opinion is, like, if your recommendation was to put MX on another corridor, for instance, I couldn't professionally tell you that that was, not a good idea. I think that all of the designs we came up with have merits, and we were trying to balance community feedback and frankly, the large match we're going to need to even do any of these projects. I don't know if that's
full enough. Maybe I can add some context to, so actually the first three MX projects that we have built were all 80% federal funds. The first one was actually an earmark from DeFazio, and that was and he actually worked with us to LTD played a role in developing the Small Starts program, from which we got the other two. And just to put it in perspective, since 2005, so it's like 16, over the last 16 years, we've been able to invest what totals, and I haven't controlled for inflation, but $175 million we've invested in the MX system over the last 16 years. And so it's not unreasonable for us to look particularly at this program and think about it in terms of what we might be able to set up in terms of a program that might be, that much, or, maybe $200 million, whatever. But that's, I think, to me, that's a helpful context to think about the level of investment we've made in the last 16 years and what this program represents moving forward.
The match requirements, are they with the new bill? Is it still in the range of 20 to 50% depending on the program?
The limit has always been, for small starts, 80% maximum federal share. Total, other federal monies included, that is still the same. There is a competitiveness side to these grants where if you put more local money in, you can get a higher rating. And that is, I believe, still true. It was to the point in recent years where I think very few projects were funded at 80%. I'm not sure if that's going to change in the new administration, but it's always been the legal maximum that 80% is the most the federal government will contribute.
And I should say that's what we got on all three projects. The question is whether, that'll continue to be competitive in a non-DeFazio world.
We're still talking about identifying like 30 million or more like non-federal dollars for these three corridors that we're recommending be prioritized. Like, that's a big lift just in and of itself, I think.
Yeah. So the reason I asked that question is because I'm in favor of maximum build out of MX to the extent practical. And for three reasons: one, climate change; two, commuter times reduces commuter times; and three, increased health from reduction in emissions. All three of those things are only going to get more important and bigger benefits for the community as we go forward. They're not going to get less by any stretch of the imagination. So I agree that with the I was in the minority at council. I thought we should do more with MX, for instance. I agreed with River Road as the next project, but if there's an opportunity that and we're leaving money on the table, I think instead of an enhanced corridor on Highway 99, we should be doing MX. And then MLK and Coburg are on the second tier or third tier, and then 30th doesn't provide as much benefit. So I'm not so concerned about that, but I'm concerned about not seizing this opportunity. Specifically on Highway 99, it doesn't say in the memo what the travel time increase or decrease is from going from no build to MX. It just says 34% for enhanced. Do we know that number?
I hope this isn't wrong. My memory is telling me that with enhanced corridor, we would save 10 minutes each direction. And that it's 12 minutes, I think, for the MX.
Today, when it first opens, right?
So it would be, we modeled this all in 2035. So what we think traffic will be in 2035, we used the regional travel demand model maintained by LCOG, which is how, that's what everybody uses. It's kind of the standard. I don't know that there's any alternative for our agencies to use, really. And we looked at how traffic would be, where we think expansion of homes will be, things like that, and said, how we actually modeled each intersection. And we also did the travel time for cars, travel time for buses. And I think we saved 10 minutes each way in this 2035 future that we modeled.
And River Road, is that about the same time savings or is that more?
It's less. I think it was. I hope I'm not being held something. We can look it up. But I think it was about 8 minutes.
But give me a ballpark.
I think it was about 8 minutes for MX and a little bit less for enhanced corridor. Highway 99 actually had the greatest travel time savings for each alternative.
Okay. Thanks. Well, I'm in favor of moving more into MX than the recommendation. Thanks.
I think Councillor Evans was next.
Yeah, I think Alan is right partially. We originally, this was supposed to be a 61 mile build out of full BRT system. Since that time, we have had at least one of our partners that has waffled on us, and I would say it, Springfield. They want something else to what we originally planned for. And so there's a problem there in terms of the connectivity of the system. The second thing is financing projects. I think that we're being, this proposal to do enhanced, bus traffic on major lines like Coburg Road or like Highway 99 gets us more into the ballpark of what the federal government will support and will fund. We really need that 80% match. I'm not sure if we're going to get 20% from the state government or not. It all depends on what their budget is and what ODOT is doing. But clearly we need enhanced service in all of these areas. And what will happen is if we don't get the money to build all five out as BRT lines, we at least will have the beginnings and the start of a future BRT line by redirecting and remanaging the traffic that's going through the corridors. Right now, you know, River Road makes sense because River Road is the second, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, is the second most traveled corridor in Eugene, right behind, you know, downtown Main Street out to Thurston. We really need to work on that. And then there's some other technical challenges around River Road in terms of where you position the BRT. Is it, you know, going to be closer to the sidewalk? Are we looking at middle of the street? You know, how are we going to deal with railroad crossings, especially down in the Whitaker area? You know, this bus line 52 or 51 has been consistently late over the years, either because of bus traffic, train traffic, or the loads that it's carrying coming from, you know, way out River Road into town. It's heavily used, it's heavily traveled, and it's one of the more challenging pieces of the work that we have to do. So I really think that, you know, Alan, we may get there at some point, but I don't think we should overplay our hand. And if we have a reasonable proposal that gives us at least a start on some of these other areas and doesn't have much pushback from neighbors and business people, I think we can get this one done. And but we have to, you know, find out where our money is going to come from. Lane County doesn't have any money. You know, we're not going to, I don't think, but I know that, you know, years ago when I grew up in the Midwest, when they consolidated all the transit agencies, they put out a one penny tax to do that in the Cleveland metro area. And that worked for a long time. But, you know, people out here are not fond of taxes. And any kind of user fee or any kind of tax is going to, you know, really jeopardize our project. So we'll really need to go back to the state legislature and we'll need to really focus in on how much they're willing to invest in transit, because there are other investments they're looking at, and there's other pressures. There's pressures from rail companies coming through here. There are pressures for more roads. There are pressures to fix bridges that are already, way beyond their useful time. And, we're going to have to maneuver a morass of interests and concerns that are not lined up with what we want to do in Eugene. So that's the thing that I'm most concerned about. And from conversations I've had at FTA, first they were talking about, you know, for the third line, at one point they were talking about a 50-50 match. Well, you know, we finally got the 80-20 match because DeFazio was sitting where he was. But that's not going to be the case anymore. After the end of this year, we're going to have a rookie congressman, and we're going to have to lean heavier on other parts of our Oregon delegation to support us, particularly in the Senate.
Thank you, Councillor Evans. I think Franny was next.
Hi, thanks for good arguments so far today about different corridors and what to move forward. My understanding is this is a NEPA analysis, basically, where we're packaging a number of corridors and putting it through the NEPA process and getting to the locally preferred alternative. And then there might be some more analysis done, and then we get sign off to fund it through FTA. One of the things that's been bothering me since the last time I heard this proposal is the MLK corridor, because I know what's being proposed for MLK is enhanced bus, possibly using the outer lanes for dedicated bus. And as I look at that corridor, I drive it every day, all the way into Springfield through Centennial. And I know Springfield is not a partner at this time, but it is an access, basically controlled highway, road, I mean, or local arterial that's, you know, fairly high speeds, got really good infrastructure, has got a lot of capacity. And if we're gonna look at that as enhanced, the difference between that and BRT is really not that much as far as footprint goes. You know, we're not taking a lot more right of way. We're not taking a lot more land. The analysis, you know, as far, and that's the big impact right there is right of way access control. Those are the big impacts from environmental and socioeconomic and all that. So it just would seem to me that we could, and if we package the locally preferred alternative, put a caveat or something on MLK that says either, you know, a caveat that says enhanced with a, you know, with an option to go to BRT without any more land use actions or land take, should we have partnership with Springfield? Because I'm not so sure that we, if we had that conversation again now or 5 years from now, with Springfield, that the answer would still be, no, we don't want to do anything on Centennial with BRT. I'm just not confident that that would be the case with where we're going as an agency. And I think that there's a real call for another east-west fast, reliable service in this area, especially one that connects Eugene and Springfield. And I understand that Coburg Road needs to be part of that whole connection to make it all work, make the BRT work. But I don't know if we could do that, if we could say in the locally preferred alternative with the option of, given that there's not going to be a lot of additional impact for BRT. Yeah, there'd be some change in connectivity and all that other stuff to figure it out, how to operationalize it. But as far as, you know, the impact on the land and the property owners and the environment and the impervious surface and all of that, it just seems that it wouldn't be that much different. Thanks.
Yeah, you're correct that we are sort of, I don't want to say doing NEPA in the background, but we try to keep the technical stuff technical and like with the technical team. And then we're using this to set kind of the community's vision on the corridors. So we try and make it a little more user-friendly than NEPA is often, but we are doing this in a way that we can leverage this analysis. And the great thing about our enhanced corridor design, and particularly on MLK, is that it can be upgraded to MX in the future pretty easily if that is the community's priority. So if and when Springfield is ready to participate in a future effort looking at Centennial, I'll also note that, you know, there are a lot of different definitions of BRT. We call MX BRT, but kind of in a broad sense, a lot of our enhanced corridor designs, they're better. When I say better, yes, Commissioner Farr. Okay, I think he had to go. I was just to finish my thought. Our enhanced corridor it has more exclusivity. It has, you know, more investment than a lot of communities, what they call BRT. It's just the MX is kind of like, that's gold standard BRT, right? So we can certainly take a look at that, Franny. And I'll say at the staff level, there is a lot of interest in finishing the corridor when that's a community priority. And we'd certainly like to take a look at it at least. Councillor Evans.
With Pat gone, do we have a quorum?
I think Sasha is a voting member and she is at Lane County, so I think that we're still good.
Yeah. I'm
sorry, I did let Andrew know, but I have to leave at 2:15. I apologize.
Yeah. I think we want the Crisal version of BRT, but over the years, some people have just alluded to, there are a number of different configurations for BRT. So you have BRT light, where you're running in mixed traffic. There's the percentage of dedicated lanes that you have, which is another factor in, the federal government calling it a full BRT line. In Seattle, they've got BRT, but basically in the downtown area, it's only bus. And I mean by that is that they don't have dedicated lanes, but they do have enhanced corridors. So I think the enhanced corridors are our opening to put our foot in the water, to be able to have a full build out of our BRT plan. And hopefully it will ally some of the fears of the naysayers out there that are afraid that it's going to affect their retail business or it's going to affect other things. I had to get my car fixed on West 11th a few months ago, and I had to go to
Councillor Evans, you froze.
Your audio, Greg.
Okay. Why don't we move on, because we do have a time that we have to end at 2:15. So Councillor Zelenka, I think you were next.
Yeah. So what Franny said was interesting. So this is really a NEPA process to get to the locally preferred alternative. And so I'm wondering what the limitations are with regard to building out MX if we come out with a locally preferred alternative as enhanced corridor, in particular on Highway 99. Because if it does do that, I would make an amendment to the motion to include Highway 99 as MX. And Covered Roads is not politically ready, so.
Yeah, I think that we are, in one sense, taking MX off the table for now. I do think, though, that, as I mentioned, if we build enhanced corridor, it's easy to upgrade later. We're intentional about designing things that way. At the same time, if, for instance, we go through the process for another 2 or 3 years, I don't think it would be a huge lift, but it would be more work if in a couple of years we said, actually, we don't want the enhanced corridor, we want MX. So if you're pretty adamant about MX, I think you would want to make that your recommendation.
So can you go the other way too? If you put in MX, can you go back down to the preferred alternative to enhanced corridor?
Because you still have to do that more work part. I will say that part of the getting the detailed design done, there is room to like dial it up a little bit or dial it down. So if you say MX, that means certain things, right? We're going to have green buses and we're going to have nice stations like MX has. Those are probably not negotiable, but in both cases, we could do things like if we find a way that doesn't substantially change, I know this is like getting super detailed, but if we don't change the project too much, there is an opportunity to dial it up or dial it down. And like, for instance, have an extra queue jump or something like that, as long as it's not really changing, you know, who's impacted and all the study we've done, but we can try to maximize the project's benefits by doing enhanced corridor plus or something like that. If that's where we get in detailed design by working with, you know, the community and everybody else, we wouldn't be able to just do MX though.
I'm sorry, Andrew, you're saying we couldn't do MX if the policymakers directed us to on Highway 99?
I think the process would be that we would have to do a small process, which we then select MX as the locally preferred alternative. It doesn't have to be a 6-year study, but we also couldn't just do MX. Or if we did, for instance, the way we've designed this NEPA work is we're doing a bunch of study now, and that means we do less study later. And so, for instance, if we decided to do MX, when we go through the actual environmental review, we would have to kind of restudy issues we've already studied, if that makes sense. Like if the recommendation is to not do it, if it's to do enhanced corridor, essentially we're taking MX off the table as an option. And if we want MX back in here, we'd have to do some type of process that's similar to what we've done with study. That could be wrapped into a higher level of environmental review. Like maybe we would have to do an environmental impact statement instead of an environmental analysis, which is a lot more work. It's not impossible to change our minds later, but we are trying to take things off the table so that we can, you know, actually get something built.
So Andrew, also is one of the ways when we, if say a small starts were what we applied for, there's also cost effectiveness elements of that that have to do with how competitive your project is. And I think, and we didn't talk about this in our presentation, but I think the staff thinking was that the River Road was the most competitive project for MX because of the ridership and travel time benefits. If you look at Highway 99, and Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, but the major difference in cost between MX and Enhanced is the MX stations and the buses. There wasn't a lot of dedicated lanes, even with the MX alternative. And we couldn't, I mean, really, like if you look at the difference between Moving Ahead and West Eugene MX, West Eugene MX was really had a lot of widening, and we did not really do that nearly as much Moving Ahead. It was much more surgical, I guess I would say, only in very specific locations where, like River Road at Beltline, where there's so much congestion that the only way the buses could efficiently get through is to do some widening and have some business impacts at that particular location. But otherwise, a lot of it was much more mixed traffic or reallocating travel lanes where we felt like we could do that. Now, Highway 99, Coburg Road have way too much traffic for us to reallocate travel lanes like we can do on River Road and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. So it's not a huge difference. That's partially why there wasn't a huge difference in travel time benefit and ridership benefit with MX compared to moving to Enhance. The other thing is that I think that LTD staff felt like committing to 10-minute service on Highway 99 might be more than what the potential ridership would show is needed there. But so that was another piece of it too. And so the analysis showed that also hurt the kind of cost effectiveness because it was more service than the ridership justified. I think Councilor Evans is back, If you want to finish your thought from before.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My dog stepped on my power strip and turned me off. So she's a bad girl right now. What I was going to say is this. Back a few years ago when I was on the board, this is one of the things that we were talking about. And also, as we formed the Strategic Planning Committee, we wanted to have a vehicle where we didn't have to have, a subcommittee for every corridor that we were going to go for. The idea was that we were going to do BRT on River Road on Highway 99 and do a complete NEPA study along with an EIS in order to accelerate the time that those projects could be built and operational. That was the idea. I know things have changed since then. significantly, and we were stalled for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years with, you know, a lack of commitment from the federal government to this. And California is even a bigger mess with their rail system down there that they're not able to complete. But what I want to do is be able to, you know, work our way into the BRT vision that we had in the first place. And the only way that I see that happening is if we do enhance corridors in places where we need to deal with traffic situations like Highway 99, like Coburg Road, and River Road. But River Road, I think, would be the most obvious choice to go after funding for BRT because of the length of the travel corridor and the timing. Quite often, the 52 is late coming into the station. And when that happens, that throws off the LCC bus, which throws off other bus routes, and then the system gets screwed up. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but that has happened in more than one occasion. And I think we can improve our service overall in the system if we have BRT Downriver Road, and then looking at enhanced corridors at Coburg Road, at Highway 99, and in over MLK.
Well, if you're looking for me to say something, Greg, I will say that at a system level, particularly on these busier corridors like River Road 99, Coburg, we're losing time every year, and our service planners are adjusting the schedule. The quick anecdote is that back in the 90s, it took about 45 minutes to get from the station out to the end and back on River Road. Today it's anywhere from 60 to 75 minutes. And so the need that we have is for that kind of infrastructure that can help us just stabilize our running times. And so MX on River Road, definitely is something that's going to help us operationally, as well as contribute to the city's vision of growth along River Road, et cetera. And I think in a similar fashion, and I don't know how to do this in a simple way, but I'm going to be short. We have a lot of latitude within the enhanced corridor option to make those kinds of investments that are going to allow us to save time, stabilize that loss of time, and it's a way to evolve the network towards the vision that you're talking about, Greg. So I'm just going to put that out at the table. Strategically, we have that enhanced option that can really help us move things forward.
Yeah, because the system really gets out of whack when routes are not coming into the station on time, and then people have to wait another half an hour or maybe even longer to get the next bus to where they're going.
Absolutely.
And that just doesn't work, and it really damages our ability to serve the community.
Director Knox, I think you were next.
Crap. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate Councillor Evans' point about the system as a bus rider. I can tell you that if your bus comes in late, that is a big deal. I think about this, I mean, if I had all the money in the world, I would put MXs down every street practically, but in consideration of trying to consider whether the costs and, if we're, of course, the political will and to get funding through the state and other things. I see River Road is, in my mind, is the most logical place to put a full meal deal MX line. The other corridors, you know, I mean, to do a full meal deal, Coburg Road is just isn't fantastically expensive, and there's still a lot of really big open questions, and the political will doesn't seem to even be there. It's too bad that I agree it's a missed opportunity for Centennial to have to with because of or Centennial and Martin Luther King, the Springfield. It's too bad we couldn't have that discussion. I don't think Highway 99 is really there yet to have, and I don't, you know, I have a good friend that lives out on Hawthorne there, and it, you know, it's the bus is a long ways from where a lot of people live. They're going to be putting people out to where they're maybe working. But the enhanced corridor for those, the other three corridors. And of course I agree with taking 30th Avenue off the table completely, is that, I think that's the logical step, and just the cost for what you're getting is not prohibitive. Whereas you're going to spend another $30 million, I think it is, $2018, dollars, I guess, to go out River Road. I think it makes sense. So the basically what I'm advocating for is going for the package that that has been recommended by the staff and the SPC, which I was in that meeting, and so was Councillor Evans the other night. So that's my two cents.
So just to jump in briefly, Terry Harding looked at the charter for the Oversight Committee, and what she found was that there's five voting members, the two representatives from the Eugene City Council, the two representatives from the LTD board, and the ODOT area manager. So in terms of like who needs to be here for the decision. And then the other, just so folks know, what it said is the other members, the other sort of like official members of the committee are the City of Eugene Public Works Director and Assistant City Manager, the LTD General Manager, and the Lane County Transportation Manager.
Okay, thank you for that, Rob. That's actually really helpful. Director Cox, thank you for your patience. I think you were next.
Thank you. Just listening to the conversation, and I was not a part of this in 2019, just three things that I'm thinking about. 2019 was a long time ago in terms of the way the world has changed. And has any of that been considered when we're thinking about moving forward, or is everything still the same, all the assessments, the assumptions, or does that need to be reconsidered? And then secondly, I am intrigued about the idea of not leaving money on the table. If there's any reasonable way to look at it, we do have a window, and a very short window, where we have Chairman DeFazio still in position. And then the other was the conversation about Springfield. Seemed like there may be some openness to look at that again, and should that be something to move forward? So those are just things, listening to the conversation today, wondering if they were all buttoned up. Thank you.
Sure. You know, if I can jump on the last point you were making, about Springfield, I can tell you we're in like weekly contact with Springfield and Eugene staff for that matter, but their situation hasn't changed. I just was talking to Tom Boyette about this at Springfield, and I mean their staffing capacity, etc., is really focused right now on delivering the Main Street safety project along with ODOT. But you know, the door is open in the future for us to connect Centennial into the MLK discussion and see if we can't get something going along there. We, from an, I'll say from an operational standpoint, LTD staff is really excited about the prospect of having some kind of frequent transit service set up for that corridor. It's a great corridor for transit.
Director Cox, to address your question about what is, has, you know, what's changed since COVID happened, one thing I just want to remind folks is that moving ahead is not just about bus service, but it's also about other improvements along these corridors, especially for people walking and biking. And those are definitely still needs that we have in our community to make these corridors safer for people to walk and bike, and also just for people to cross the street to get to the bus or wherever else they're going. So that's what a lot of the safety improvements are. These safe, especially on River Road, are making for safer pedestrian crossings. I couldn't really speak to the bus service part as much, except for that we know that, you know, sometimes I think future development and what's likely to happen. And, you know, one on River Road, for sure, there's a lot of multifamily development happening, but whether or not MX leads to more development, we don't really know that in our community for sure. But what we do know is there's a lot of folks who really rely on the bus to get around. A lot of them are lower income. And so if we can put a system in place that will enable them to get where they're going more efficiently and with spending less time on the bus, that's a real benefit for their lives. So I think that's still true today.
And I think another thing about the process we're going through that I think is really reassuring for me, and I hope it is for you as well, is that we've done this study and people ask, you know, how has COVID changed things? And I don't think we fully know that. But we're going to go through some of the process again. So for instance, when we actually submit environmental review documents to FTA, we're going to have to take another look at the impacts that we think about for ridership. So if people don't come back to transit like we would love them to, or maybe more people come back to transit, I don't know, but we're going to have to relook at a lot of these things in the next couple of years, certain aspects of it. We're going to leverage our work, but we continue to evaluate as we go through the process. And if we select MX and all of a sudden it doesn't make sense in 3 or 4 years, you all as our policymakers will actually have an opportunity to, you're going to have to reaffirm that we want to continue moving forward with that project. So if we discover in the next couple of years that things are radically different and these projects don't make sense, which I don't think we will find that out, we're not locking ourselves into building something if it doesn't make sense. There will be opportunities to not do it if it doesn't make sense. Councillor Evans?
Yeah, I totally concur with that. I want to point out that at our Monday meeting, our SPC meeting, we voted unanimously on the recommendations that are coming before you today and will eventually get to the board. And those recommendations basically were for the four different corridors that we're talking about now, minus the 30th Avenue deal. And there's a lot of people that feel that we should be on 30th Avenue with bus rapid transit, with MX. But there's just such a inconsistent ridership patterns on that route that make justifying MX very difficult. Right now, the college is down in enrollment, which also means that it's down in ridership, because you know, a significant part of our students are riding the bus to get to school, to get to class. And if we don't have those students, that will have a domino effect on other parts of the community. And the first domino is LTD, you know, and so to be totally efficient, we as I hate this term. I really hate this term because I've heard this for the last 37 years. You know, all I see is empty buses riding around town. Well, you know what? That's not really true. And, you know, if we're going to, you know, have a world-class system, and which we have already been recognized for by APTA and other similar associations and agencies, we have to, you know, take a careful and strategic look at how we grow, the system, and does that growth match the demand and the need that people have out there for public transportation? And so that's the thing that I'm most concerned about, and that's one of the reasons why I made the motion to move that recommendation forward on Monday night, was that, you know, basically, you know, we need to do a couple of things. One, we need to know what the match is going to be demanded from the federal government for this these kinds of projects, and where we're going to get that match from. And two, we have other needs in terms of upgrading the bus fleet. And when I'm talking about upgrades, I'm talking about moving to electric. I'm talking about training new mechanics and staff in that area, because a lot of them are leaving and retiring. And so we've got one problem on top of another but I think that we need to keep our heads in a visionary position so that we can look down the road and say 20 years from now, when I'm 81 years old, I can ride the bus and it's most convenient for me. And I don't need to be on the road driving because I'm going to run into somebody. So that's the deal, you know. But that's my two cents on that.
Councilor Zelenka, you were next. I just, for time purposes, we have about 7 minutes left scheduled. Yep. So just to be aware of that, we are looking for recommendation by the end of the meeting of some sort.
Yeah. So Greg, my response to the people who say I saw these buses with nobody on them, I say, you know what? I saw a whole bunch of streets with nobody on them, not a single person using them. What a waste of money. The amount of money we put in those is unbelievable. And they stare at me like, what are you talking about? We don't subsidize streets. Duh. Anyway, I just really feel like we're missing an opportunity here and not seizing the moment with the Biden administration and the position that Chairman DeFazio has for a very limited time. And I'm not always in favor of this, but in certain circumstances, I think it makes sense to go big or go home. And none of this is going to get easier. None of this is going to get cheaper. And so with that, I move staff recommendation with the amendment of MX for Highway 99.
There is a motion. Is there a second for that motion?
Didn't think there would be. I'll withdraw my motion for lack of a second. And I move the staff recommendation.
Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second.
I'll second. I have to step away for a second, though.
Okay, is there any discussion on the motion? It might be good to have discussion so Councillor Evans can be back for the vote.
So I'll just explain my motion while we're waiting for Greg. I wanted to get on the record that
And when we started this whole process, it was, let's get MX built out to the maximum extent possible and not do a sequential series of investigations, because that will take too long. This is already taking too long. And so it was a good idea to combine them all. But as we started doing it, the MX ideas and BRT get winnowed down and winnowed down and winnowed down. And now we're just doing one. And that's not my vision for the future, especially 20, 30 years from now. I think people are going, you know, I sure wish they had done that on Highway 99 too, because that makes a lot of sense. And it's a really wide street and it's got the least amount of problems on it. Coburg's, I agree, completely different issue. MLK, completely different issue. And Highway 30, or 30th Avenue, different issue. But in that instance, I think that's where I was coming from. I just think we're missing an opportunity that's not going to come back to us, and we're going to end up regretting it.
I don't know if this will help, Alan, but Andrew, do you know what the total investment would be that would come out of the staff recommendation in terms of what we're looking for to move forward with both the MX on River Road? And
that's something I should know.
Rob said $38 million for the staff recommendation, right?
No, I think it was $38 million more for MX on River Road than doing the enhanced corridor on River Road.
Right.
It's if I'm going to ballpark it, I'd say it's between 150 and 200 million. It's in that range.
So I think what I'm trying to get at is that that's the level of investment that we're looking to make coming out of this this process. It's going to take time to go through the additional process, but you know, the inclination of more capital in transit, bike and ped on these corridors is definitely what's needed. And I think, you know, the $200 million program that we have here, is set up to, I think, identify where we can go bigger on some of the corridors, without a whole lot of additional work. But I think we're setting ourselves up for at least close to what I think you're looking for, counselors.
Well, you know, half a loaf's better than no loaf. I'll give you that. I'm not going to vote no. I just think we're missing an opportunity.
I'm sorry if I missed it, but record my vote is yes.
We actually were doing discussion to wait for you.
Okay.
So we had motion, second, and some discussion. Any further discussion? Are we ready to vote?
There's one other piece that I think we need to realize in this, and that's the bike and ped piece. Because I went to DC back in January to help Rails and Trails get an audience with Congressman DeFazio, because they couldn't get in. And when we got in, basically, he decided to add a substantial amount of money, $100 million, to the bike and ped program. And that included rails and trails, sidewalks and other, amenities that are needed, particularly in this community. So, I think we're in the right place.
Great. So we are just about at time. So can I ask, we learned that only our directors and counselors and the ODOT area manager should be voting on this. Could I ask all those in favor of the motion, which was to support the staff recommendation, to please raise your hand? Thank you. All of those opposed? I'm sorry, Susan, I didn't see your hand for either one. I'm sorry, you're muted.
I'm sorry, I'm on the, it's yes.
Voted yes, okay. So the motion passed unanimously. Thank you all for your time today. And we hope to bring this to LTD's board and Eugene City Council sometime in February or March, and kind of talk to the full policy bodies for each of your organizations, and we'll hopefully engage you all in deliberations and be able to come to a decision on the locally preferred alternative early next year. So with that, thank you all, and have a great weekend.